The Marysville Hole, July 27th. 1. Jack awoke at 4 in the morning. The wind was blowing outside, blowing hard, and he hurt all over. Not just his neck, but his arms, his legs, his belly, his butt. It felt like a sunburn. He threw back the covers, sat on the edge of the bed, and turned on the bedside lamp, which cast a sallow 60-watt glow. He looked down at himself and saw nothing on his skin, but the pain was there. It was inside.
"I'll do what you want," he told the visitor. "I'll stop them. I promise."
There was no answer. The visitor either wasn't replying or wasn't there. Not now, at least. But he had been out at that goddamn barn. Just one light, ticklish touch, almost a caress, but it had been enough. Now he was full of poison. Cancer poison. And sitting here in this shitty motel room, long before dawn, he was no longer sure the visitor could take back what he had given him. But what choice did he have? He had to try. If that didn't work, I'll shoot myself. The idea made him feel a little better. It was an option his mother hadn't had. He said it again, more decisively. "I'll shoot myself." No more hangovers. No more driving home at exactly the speed limit, stopping at every light, not wanting to get pulled over when he knew he'd blow at least a 1, maybe even a 1.2. No more calls from his ex reminding him that he was once more late with her monthly check, as if he didn't know. What would she do if those checks stopped coming? She'd have to go to work, see how the other half lived. Oh, boo-hoo. No more sitting home all day watching Ellen and Judge Judy. What a shame. He dressed and went out. The wind wasn't exactly cold, but it was chilly. It seemed to go right through him. It had been hot when he left Flint City, and he'd never thought of bringing a jacket or a change of clothes or even a toothbrush. "That's you, honey," he could hear the old ball and chain saying. "That's you all over. A day late and a buck short." Cars, pickup trucks, and a few campers were drawn up to the motel building like nursing puppies. Jack went down the covered walkway far enough to make sure the blue SUV belonging to the meddlers was still there. It was. They were all tucked up in their rooms, no doubt dreaming pleasant, pain-free dreams. He entertained a brief fantasy of going room to room and shooting them all. The idea was attractive but ridiculous. He didn't know which rooms they were in, and eventually someone, not necessarily the chief meddler, would start shooting back. This was Texas, after all, where people liked to believe they were still living in the days of cattle drives and gunfighters. Better to wait for them where the visitor said they might come. He could shoot them there and be pretty sure of getting away with it. No one around for miles. If the visitor could take away the poison once the job was done, all would end well. If he couldn't, Jack would suck the end of his service Glock and pull the trigger. Fantasies of his ex waitressing or working in the glove factory for the next 20 years were entertaining, but not the most important consideration. He wasn't going the way his mother had gone, with her skin splitting open every time she tried to move. That was the important consideration. He got in his truck, shivering, and headed for the Marysville Hole. The moon sat near the horizon, looking like a cold stone. The shivering became shaking, so bad that he swerved across the broken white line a couple of times. That was okay. All the big rigs either used Highway 190 or the interstate. There was no one on the rural star at this ungodly hour except for him. Once the ram's engine was warm, he turned the heater on high, and that was better. The pain in his lower body began to subside.
The back of his neck still throbbed like a very bitch, though, and when he rubbed it, his palm came away covered with snowflakes of dead skin. The idea occurred to him that maybe the pain in his neck was just a real, ordinary sunburn and everything else was in his mind. Psychosomatic, like the old ball and chains bullshit migraines. Could psychosomatic pain actually wake you up out of a sound sleep? He didn't know. But he knew that the visitor who'd been hiding behind the shower curtain in his bedroom had been real, and you didn't want to screw around with someone like that. What you wanted to do with someone like that was exactly what he said. Plus, there was Ralph fucking Anderson, who had always been on his case, Mr. No Opinion, who got him hauled back from his fishing vacation by getting suspended. Which is what Ralphie boy was, and fuck that administrative leave shit. Ralph fucking Anderson was the reason that he, Jack Hoskins, had been out in Canning Township instead of sitting in his little cabin watching DVDs and drinking vodka tonics. As he turned in at the billboard, closed until further notice, a sudden insight electrified him. Ralph fucking Anderson might have sent him out there on purpose. He could have known the visitor would be waiting and what the visitor would do. Ralphie boy had wanted to get rid of him for years, and once you factored that in, all the pieces fell into place. The logic was undeniable. The only thing Ralphie boy hadn't counted on was being double-crossed by the man with the tattoos. As to how this fuckery would turn out, Jack saw three possibilities. Maybe the visitor could get rid of the poison now coursing through Jack's system. That was number one. If it was psychosomatic, it would eventually go away on its own. That was number two. Or maybe it was real, and the visitor couldn't take it away. That was number three. Mr. No Fucking Opinion was going to be history no matter which possibility turned out to be the right one. That was a promise Jack made, not to the visitor, but to himself. Anderson was going down, and the others would go with him, clean sweep. Jack Hoskins, American Sniper. He came to the abandoned ticket booth and detoured around the chain. The wind would probably die away once the sun was up and the temperature really started to climb again, but it was still blowing now, sending sheets of dusty grit flying, and that was good. He wouldn't have to worry about the meddlers seeing his tracks. If they came at all, that was. If they don't, can you still fix me up? He asked, not expecting an answer, but one came. Oh, yes, you'll be good to go. Was that a real voice, or only his own? What did it matter?